You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
We love talking to Charles Barkley. He is the absolute best on TNT. The absolute best. He's like the best guy, too. He's a Hall of Fame basketball player. And we love the relationship. He's kind enough to join us right now on the Corona Hotline as Waddle and Sylvie broadcast from the First Midwest Bank Studio. Chuck, how are you these days?
Man, I'm doing good, man. Hey, I might see you guys again in my lifetime. Hey, you know, my life is dictated by how good your basketball team is.
Yeah.
It's been a long time, but the possibility of me coming to Chicago is back on the table.
Wilbon has been bragging that ESPN has the Eastern Conference Finals this year, so he's now starting to dream about being in Chicago for that.
Tell you what, man, they are playing really good. You know, hopefully the big fella, you know, around back into shape when he gets back from COVID. But, man, they are playing fantastic. I love the fact I watched them a couple games last week when they just won two blowouts in L.A. when the Clippers had won seven in a row and they just stomped the Lakers. That was pretty good. So basketball is back in the Windy City.
Ooh, hey,
let me tell you something, too.
Uh-huh.
I bet, hey, I'm excited about the Bears.
What? About Fields?
I am. I had y'all guys on Monday night or Sunday night?
Yeah,
about two weeks ago.
Monday night against the Steelers.
Oh, man. I took you guys, that was a hell of a game.
It was.
See, it's dictated by gambling.
Whether he wins or loses.
Our team is in a four-game losing streak.
Yeah.
We are 3-6. We're not even in the hunt anymore, Charles. And you're like, hey, I love your Bears.
Yeah, you can't take it.
Well, first of all, you found your quarterback.
Yeah.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. He looks fantastic. But listen, y'all don't need to start winning a lot right away because y'all need a bunch of more players.
Yeah.
You want to find your quarterback and get more draft picks.
Well, unfortunately, we don't have a first-round pick next year. But if you want change, the last thing that you want is this team to win some insignificant games, and you may find yourself with the same management team and the same coaching staff. That's the dilemma. We want
yeah,
change.
That is the dilemma. But, man, I'm telling you, Fields, he's had some games. First of all, for a rookie, he's really had some really great games. I mean, because, you know, it's a steep learning curve. He's going to be inconsistent. But, man, I would like to have him for the next 10 to 15 years. I got to say that.
We feel good about that. Back to our Bulls for a second. I think you told us a while ago you thought the Bulls had the best offseason. With that in mind, are you surprised that they've been so good so early?
That's a great question. I thought they would be really good. I did. I thought they had the best offseason. But, you know, you don't know how quickly things are going to come together. That's the only thing. I knew they were going to be good, but I would say to answer your question is, yeah, they come together a little bit faster than I thought. But it's fun to watch, man.
Yeah.
You know, it is. The DeRozan pickup and him was probably the cherry on top because he's been fantastic.
Yeah, do you think now that Chicago will finally get over the perception that no one wants to come and play here? He wanted originally to be in L.A., but it didn't work out. There was an article about that recently. And now that DeMar is playing MVP-level basketball, that people will see, hey, this is a good place to play, and maybe we should be open to going to Chicago.
Well, I think that's always the case. I mean, the Bulls have been irrelevant for so long. You know, it's kind of like, you know, every week when I'm in Atlanta, people are like, you think anything going to change in Atlanta? I said, well, now they're starting to win. Of course, ain't nobody going to go to a losing team. I mean, I'm trying to think, when's the last time the Bulls been relevant? Derrick Rose.
Right. It was we've pinned it to the Remember when the Bulls were up 2-1 on LeBron and the Cavs, second round of the postseason, Derek hit that crazy bank shot. It was Derek, it was Gasol, and it was Jimmy Butler. And then after that, it's been all downhill.
Yeah, so but now when you're winning, and listen, you got a young team too. So, I think y'all future is really bright. I really do.
Legit contender this year, or what do they need to add a piece at some point to kind of get them over the top to be that legit contender?
Well, right now, I got zero idea what's happening in the Eastern Conference. I mean, you got the elephant in the room with Kyrie. You know, Milwaukee hasn't been able to get healthy. But I don't see any other team. You know, like I say, we don't know what's going to happen with Milwaukee because they cannot get healthy. But like I say, Kyrie is the elephant in the room. But I think the Bulls are right there. I think they're probably the third best team in the Eastern Conference. I'm not sold on the Wizards. I think they're going to start coming back down to earth pretty soon. But I do. I'm telling you. I just think they're probably, in my opinion, they're probably the third best. Like I say, I'm not even sure they're the third best because without Kyrie – and listen, and if those guys don't get healthy for the Bucks, it's up for grabs in the Eastern Conference.
Is this one of those teams too, Chuck, that you hate to face because they come at you? They're relentless. They play defense. They come at you with another group off the bench, and I mean, you better come to play for 48 minutes, or they're going to make your life miserable.
Well, I think the best thing about it, I think they're starting to develop that mentality. Because, you know, I don't think you could say all those guys had that mentality going into the season. But I think what happens once you start winning, you're like, damn, winning is fun. Hmm. And, you guys have been around. Listen, every year is a new thing. I tell people this all the time. Every year is totally different from the last year. And we were good last year. We're going to be good this year. I said, that has nothing to do. Sports doesn't work like that. And so now I think the way they're playing, that's like, it's, you know, Zach LaVine's like, oh, this is what winning feels like. and DeMar, you know, DeMar's been like, he's been crapped on for the last X amount of years. So he's always been a heck of a player. And now he's in a perfect situation. You know, LaMelo, which I get the
Lonzo,
ball.
Lonzo. Lonzo.
And I think, actually, Lonzo's probably the best guy because he doesn't want to shoot the ball, and he's the perfect guy to pass the ball to those LaVine and DeMar. And he'll shoot it hesitantly and reluctantly, but to get the ball to those guys, I told you, man, I was really happy with what y'all did this offseason, and it's definitely showing up.
What was your perception of Lonzo? Because, you know, the big mouth dad always sort of got in the way from how good of a kid he seems to be. And he defends and he runs the floor. And then you were mentioning the shooting. Chuck, he's like shooting 45% from three right now. He has fixed his shot. And he just seems like he just wants to get better and is the polar opposite of what the perception was of the father.
Well, everybody hates his dad, me included. I can't stand his dad. But I got to give him credit. He's really shit the hell up the last year or so. Because what he did was he made players not like that kid. I mean, you heard players saying, oh, when he's talking about he's better than this guy, he's better than that guy. So those guys were going to come for his head. So he already had strikes against him when he got in the NBA. And then I think the worst thing ever happened to him was getting drafted by the Lakers. That was the worst case scenario. I mean, because I don't think he has that type of personality. Because it seems like a great kid who's really quiet. So I think him being in L.A. and his father talking about his name going to be up in the Raptors one day, I think that hurt him even more. And now I think he's in a situation where he can be like just a really good player, and he don't have to act like he's the number two pick in the draft anymore. And I do. I think that's the best case scenario. You guys got him at the right time too, because he's fixed his shot. He's playing with tremendous confidence. So kudos to the guys in Chicago.
Yeah, we feel good. It's fine. Like, this is the first time we've talked to you in years where we've led with the Bulls. You know what I mean? We usually ask you questions about the Bulls at the end. But speaking about guys who need to shut the hell up, What's going on with Scotty? Yeah, I mean, what's going? You joined us not too long ago when this was some of the excerpts were coming out. And he mentioned you and about that you're not really tough and boxing you and this and that. And then you told us at that time, you're like, look, he wants to sell books. That's all this is about. But Chuck, all this stuff that he's built up, the goodwill with all of his great teammates, being known as a great teammate, he's flushing it all down the toilet for book publicity. That seems off to me.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea what Scotty's doing. I've always liked Scotty, and I thought he's a good player. But, man, to want to sell a book this bad, I mean, it reeks of desperation. Because if he had a – listen, because if he said this stuff, number one, dude, I've been retired for 21 years. So he's probably been retired for 20 years or somewhere that number. So if he had a said all this stuff 10, 15, 20 years ago, people say, oh, man, there might be some validity to it. Or if, but now you're like, oh, he's got a book coming out. And I think that's really why everybody's pissed off. Talking to my NBA family, they're like, it's kind of like, yo, man, would y'all please buy this dude book so he can shut the hell up? I mean,
Chuck, what do you think Michael feels about what he's hearing?
Yeah.
So, listen, man, you guys know Michael. Please cut it. Please cut it. You know how Michael is. I mean, hey,
he can't
you know how Michael is. And I think that for me personally, I think Michael ain't never going to speak to him again. That's just my personal opinion. Michael's not the forgive and forget type. I mean, and some of the stuff he's saying about Michael, like, you know, he can't even take that stuff back. And he left no room. Like, well, he said this maybe meant something else, blah, blah, blah. I mean, he's going big game hunting. I mean, and going after MJ, that's the biggest hunt you can get. And like I say, the way I know Michael, Michael's not going to forgive at all. He's not built like that.
Well, Chuck, and by experience, of course, like on this show, we brought this up numerous times that all you were doing on this show was making a point about why Charlotte isn't as good under his ownership, that he has too many yes guys. And you guys had a relationship ruined over that innocuous comment, that truthful comment. This is, like you said, scorched earth stuff.
This is nuclear scorched earth. This is way worse than my stuff. So can you imagine how mad Michael's going to be about this stuff?
And Michael's gone out of his way over the course of different times, whether it was at his Hall of Fame induction, or I heard a clip and when they won their second title and Michael was getting the MVP of the NBA Finals Award and immediately mentioned Pip. Like, there have been several moments where Michael Jordan has given Scottie Pippen his due.
Yeah, and that's what's been more shocking about some of the revelations coming out, too. I mean, and Michael, you know, even on I was at the Hall of Fame, and he's given Scotty his due, but, man, like I say, you got to understand something, though. When you're writing a book, they only gonna take certain excerpts, and obviously – it's going to be on every radio show, TV show, if you take shots at Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it's just really unfortunate. Yeah. I mean, and to be honest with you, it's just kind of sad, to be honest with you.
I don't know. I don't know if, like, he's hurting the people that he was closest to because he's hurting in other areas of his life.
Like, you can use that as an excuse, but some of the stuff he's saying, like, you know, calling Phil Jackson a racist, and things like that. I mean, like, yo, man, that's not hurt feelings. When you accuse somebody of being a racist, and then, you know, he was on every TV show last week talking about Michael didn't deserve any credit for the flu game. He played with a bad back, and that's a lot worse than a flu. I mean, I'm just sitting there. First of all, you're just laughing. I mean, like, you just got to laugh.
There was a fictitious piece in The Onion yesterday that says Scottie Pippen says he would have done better as the starring role of Space Jam over Michael. Like, that's how crazy it's gotten that people are making stuff up now.
That's funny. I like that, though. That's hilarious.
As bad as this is, you don't ever anticipate, Charles, this will never diminish how good a player he was, will it? Will people forget how good a player he was because of this nonsense?
I don't think it helps.
Yeah.
I really don't, because now, you know, you got to have people who want to defend you. I mean, so now you're like, wait a minute. I'm not going to say anything nice about this dude if he's been trashing me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'd be curious. I think I know Michael well enough that he's not going to address it. But it'd be great if he did address it. It would be hilarious.
All right. Chuck, hang in there. I want to ask you about you and Shaq's baby. We got to double back to the Bears, too, because I want to find something about your gambling on the Bears. And some other fun stuff. Charles Barkley continues to join us next.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You are listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, it's the Power Hour on Waddle and Sylvie, ESPN 1000. It's Charles Barkley into another one of our favorites, a guy who has spent many shows inside this First Midwest Bank studio with us. He has spent many years in this town and the surrounding areas, rooting on Chicago's sports team. In my opinion, Curb Your Enthusiasm is coming off the best episode of the year.
I wonder if he feels the same way.
And one of the all-time great episodes ever. Jeff Garland joining Waddle and Sylvie on the Corona Hotline right now. Jeff, how have you been?
That's a very open question. I've been mostly crappy, but a little bit of delight. And, you know, I was just in Chicago for a minute. I have a photo show at the Tamarkin Gallery in Chicago running right now. I was there for the opening night.
Big bowl of wonderful, right?
Big bowl of wonderful, yeah. So that is, I was in Chicago. That was wonderful. But, you know, I've had a lot of physical issues. The only thing I can say positive, I've never gotten COVID. That's the only thing I can say that's nice.
That is a positive.
What are you dealing with? Can you share?
What's that?
Can you share what's been going on?
No, I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. All right. Well, we wish you...
I'm still jolly as all hell, but I really don't want to get into crap.
That's fair.
I've been through.
Yeah, I know a thing or two about going through stuff. Yeah.
Tell us about the photo.
Yes, you do. By the way, you do. Okay? So, yeah, I don't want to talk about it. Let's talk about anything else.
Sports is
my favorite topic. We can talk about photography. We can talk about Curb. You know, I'm not big on, hey, don't ever mention this. See, I let you mention it, but I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. Tell us your favorite photograph from your Big Bowl of Wonderful. Which is your personal favorite?
Oh, you know, it's so funny. It's not that funny, but I got asked that, and I don't know. I like all of them. They all make me happy. That's the thing about, you know, when I discovered... It was a few years back. You know, I shot photography for about 10 years, never showed anyone any of my pictures. And then I took a workshop at the Leica Gallery here in Los Angeles, a black and white film workshop. And then on Sunday, the end of the thing, we all, you know, they showed all our photos like on a screen, and I was getting applause. And then it occurred to me, oh, I am actually pretty good at this. I do have an eye because I doubted it. I didn't know. And I didn't want to move ahead in my photography just because I'm somebody famous. Because a lot of famous tools, not just photography, but music, whatever, they put out the stuff. And it's like, no, you're why are you doing this? Don't do this to me. They want more fame. I don't want more fame. I'm just happy if anybody digs my pictures. Fame is crap, and I don't need that at all.
Please,
if you like photography, please go see my show. And if you want to buy a print, all the money goes to the Chicago area you know, the food depository. Everything that's sold doesn't go to me. It goes to the food depository. As a matter of fact, we just, Tamark and, you know, it's Tamark and Camera Store and Gallery, and they have an auction every year, and I had a rare lens that I had paid, and you're going to think I'm crazy. I paid when I first came out. I was on, I got a special access to it. $14,000 I paid for it.
Wow.
Well, guess what? At the auction, with all of the proceeds going to the Chicago Food Depository, $57,000.
Wow, nice. Great work.
That is good.
Yeah, you know, so look, I'm really proud of my photography, but I don't want to make a profit on it. If people dig it, great, and the money, like I said, goes to the food depository.
You still loving your Tesla?
Yeah, I love it. Well, you know, look, what I love about Teslas are their simplicity. I don't like... Look, I've learned that Apple, and I love Apple computers, Tesla, you might as well be dealing with AT&T the way it is. They're all the same. It's all corporate crap. If you're a little guy, you turn into a big jerk. But I still love the product. So I dig the simplicity of a Tesla.
Nice.
A lot of times when I get in other companies' electric cars, it's like being in Las Vegas. There's more lights and things to look like it's something. Whereas Teslas are very simple. I just look forward to a day in the future where simplicity and affordability come hand in hand.
I like
that.
Will
happen.
Yeah. Amen. Jeff Garland joining us, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. So when
and by the way, anytime I'm with you guys, it's an honor.
Well, it's an honor here, too. We love calling you a friend, Jeff, and we appreciate it.
Thank you.
So I noticed on Instagram the other day that you were going on live and you were wearing your Bulls hat. And I remember that you have basically been separated from the Bulls for a while. You were pissed over Gar and Pax. You fell in love with the Clippers. Are you looking to reconcile with the Chicago Bulls these days?
Not looking to reconcile. I have reconciled.
Nice.
Here's the thing. In the off season, when I saw what they were doing, I wasn't critical like some people of certain signings and what have you. I thought, all right, now they care again. Now they're doing it. Now, you think that I can just give up being a Bulls fan as somebody whose favorite player is Bob Love? Do you think that, I mean, my history with the Bulls is really rich. And so, yeah, I dig the Clippers. But my favorite player is the owner, Steve Ballmer. I don't have I was there. I went to the Clippers-Bulls the other night. And, you know, thank God I had to wear a mask because I was yelling for the Bulls.
What Ballmer think
still
about that?
The Clippers. You know, I live in L.A. I have the Clippers season tickets. But, you know, look, for years I felt that the Bulls were just giving the middle finger to their fans.
They were.
And I thought, you know what? I'm not going to be part of this. And you know what else? I will never come back to the Blackhawks until there's different owners and all the players are gone, where it's a whole new generation of owners and players. And I don't see that happening because that is not recoverable. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
That's not, oh, we get a new GM and he's really good and the team's winning. No, 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 no. What you did is the most unforgivable and tarnishing thing on your reputation. And now, to me, it's put a giant magnifying glass on the team name and uniform, too. Like, you know, get over it. Get your crap together. And by the way, I'm not a politically correct man, but a group of people, i.e. American Indians, are offended by it. You got to respect that. You just do. You know, it's like if they were called the rabbis and the American Association of Rabbis said, we hate being referred to as the rabbis on the ice. Although I think they should like it, just like Indians. I think they should like it, but they don't.
So they change it. Right.
I mean, look, and not to the Guardians or some crap like that,
what would your name be for the Cleveland team?
The Cleveland Baseball Club.
Just like Washington, right?
Yeah. If Washington, they're the worst-run organization. Right. And if they change their name away from the Washington Football Club, I know I think of something else every time I see those letters, but nonetheless, they should not change it. Like, look, you know, I just like it. There's a simplicity to it. You know, just like the inside of a Tesla.
Exactly.
And way to weave it together.
Yeah, that's perfect.
That's why you're a pro. All right, Jeff Garland, hold on. I want to talk to you about Curb Your Enthusiasm, see if you agree with me.
Sure.
We want to ask you about your Bears season tickets and how you feel about the coach there. I saw you in your Piccolo shirt. So a lot to talk about with Jeff Garland coming up next.
Yeah.